Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Ready for God's Word? Lord, I ask you to anoint your Word today on this Easter Sunday, and I pray that it will continue to reaffirm our faith and help us to follow you boldly and to believe in you with full conviction and courageously live our lives knowing that we have a resurrected King who's on our side. I bless you for everyone that's listening and watching today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Colossians chapter 1, which is our theme verse, says, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, the one who overcame death, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In everything he might have the supremacy. The firstborn from among the dead speaks about his resurrection. Now, please understand, there are people who Jesus rose from the grave. There is people in the Old Testament who rose from the grave. They are all dead. So Jesus being the firstborn from among the dead is speaking about a resurrection that won't experience death again. That's what makes him supreme. John, in the book of Revelation, has a glimpse of Jesus, the resurrected King in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 1, he describes Jesus as one who was dressed in a robe, reaching down his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His hair was like wool, and he was describing him as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire, feet like bronze, glowing in a furnace. His voice like the sound of a rushing wind, and in his hand he's holding all this stuff. His mouth, the words that come out are like a double-edged sword. His face was shining like the sun in all his glory. He was so beautiful, our resurrected King. And John says in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus himself telling John, I was dead, and now I am alive. None like him. He holds the keys of death and Hades, meaning the keys speak about authority. He has authority over the grave. He has authority over death. Makes him supreme. That's our resurrected Savior. And this day is a game-changing day for our faith because of the resurrection. And I want to share with you today five assurances that the resurrection means for you and I, if you're a believer. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus, I pray that these five assurances will help you make a decision today to give your life to the resurrected Savior and not follow any other gods, because none of them did what Jesus did, coming out of the grave. Amazing. Five assurances. Now, one of the phone calls and conversations that are very interesting to have, and I've had, and they're quite interesting, are conversations with people that are selling insurance. Those conversations are quite interesting. And I love it. Anybody doing that? Man, I love the way you really believe in those packages that you give to us. Amen. There's a package for your car. There's a package in case of a fire. This will happen. We will do this. There's one that came to and was talking about, you know, this one here, guaranteed education for your children. And amazing. And they did the math for me. Man, it's quite something. And then there's the one, in case you die, we shall do this, we'll look after so-and-so and do all of these things. But there are some conditions, you know, for that insurance to work. There's some conditions. They're usually in small print. You don't read all of them. They are right there. So that any day you think you can just go and claim, that's the day they magnify the small print, and you get to see and say, oh, really? And so I got, you know, health insurance, all of that. None of them has come to me and given me insurance that, you know, when you die, we can make you come back alive. None. All of them will deal with the disaster, especially if it's your death, the disaster of the loved ones around you. And that's great because you're trying to take care of them. But none can give assurance of life after death. Only the resurrected Savior does that. And that's why this day is so important, because Jesus' resurrection means so much. And I want to give you just five assurances that come as a result of the resurrection of Jesus. The first one is this, that you can trust His word. His word is trustworthy. You know, on a day like this as well, here's what happens in our context here in Uganda. Many politicians have gone back to their constituencies. And today they are looking for an opportunity to speak. And they are going to come. And usually this is the time where many churches are now doing building programs and all of that, because they know lots of people are traveling back to the villages. And they will come up and they will begin to give promises to their people again. Words. This time they say, you know, this particular one, we've had a crazy up and down. I wasn't able to do what I was supposed to do, what I promised. But now, the moment you give me another chance, I'm going to show you that I can come fulfill my words. And people are listening and all of that. When it comes to Jesus, you can go to the bank on His word. His word is His word is His bond, and He will fulfill His word. When it comes to the resurrection, please understand, Jesus spoke about His death and His resurrection. Tell me of anyone who has ever done that. You speak about your death and resurrection and say, in 3 days, I'll come back to life. No one. Only Jesus had such a bold conversation. And you can count on His word, because everything He says, He didn't even just speak. He also taught about His death and resurrection before He died. It's like a professor coming and saying, I'm going to give you a lecture on my death and resurrection. None. Many of us stop at death. Beyond that, we can't. Jesus, you can trust His word. In Mark chapter 8, it says, He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He will be rejected by elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Those were Jesus' words before He was crucified, before He was buried. Those were His words. And the resurrection can help us trust that if he said it is 3 days, it won't be four, it won't be two, 3 days, he came from the grave. You can count on his word. When the ladies ran to the tomb on that Sunday morning and they were going to treat the body of Jesus, an angel was right there and he says, hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is alive. He is risen just as he said. So we are, the resurrection is not a news report. Oh, these are the events that happened. Jesus, Son of God, who claimed to be Son, is now risen from the... No, he said it before because he wants us to trust his word. The resurrection assures us you can trust the word of God. You can trust God's word. Secondly, the resurrection assures us that our faith, our salvation is real and valid. We live in a world today where there are some people that have said there's many ways to heaven. And we all understand those ways differently. But also, the reality is this. I think this is probably an experience all of us will have. Maybe if you've not yet had, it will come. There's a time you're going to question yourself. Really? This faith that I've believed in, this gospel that I've believed in, is it really valid? The young people say, is it legit? Supposing we believed a lie. And those are deep questions on the inside of us that sometimes we fear to share with people around. And we question our faith. Well, my friends, the resurrection is an assurance that our faith, our salvation is valid. And here, Paul talks about it, speaking about the power and the importance of the resurrection when it comes to our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he begins to talk, he's writing to the people in Corinth, and he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. You've decided this is it. This, I'm a believer. I'm a child of Jesus. I'm a child of God. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Then Paul starts to say some important things. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. All of those parts are important. And that, listen, from the resurrection, he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, and then to the 12, referring to those, one of them had died at that point. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, all at the same time, most of whom are still living, but some had died at that point when Paul was writing. Then he also appeared to James, who's a half-brother of Jesus. He never believed in Jesus, yet lived in the same house with Jesus. But after the resurrection of Jesus, James believed in Jesus. And he's the one who wrote the book of James. He became a key leader. And the Bible says, hey, this same Jesus, the brother, saw his brother crucified. Mom was there crying. And he saw him buried. When he came back to life, he appeared to James. He saw him. And that gave James the ability to believe in Jesus. And follow him and even die for him. So he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. On his way to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. And so Paul is saying, hey, my friends, you can believe the gospel. You can believe that this faith we are following is valid. Why? This Jesus was not only crucified. He was not only buried. He rose from the grave and he appeared to people. We saw him. You can count on him for your faith. Saying, don't doubt your, the resurrection validates our faith as believers. If someone ever asks you, prove that your faith is real. Your faith is not dependent on you. It's dependent on the one you've believed in. And he died for your sin. He was buried. He defeated the grave. And he appeared to this. Paul continues to talk about the importance of the resurrection when it comes to our faith and how it validates our faith. He carries on in verse 12. He says, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can, because some of them were saying resurrection is not possible. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Human philosophy has limitations. They can't explain beyond death. And that's what they were doing. They're trying to philosophize the resurrection of Jesus. Said, no, there's no resurrection of the dead. And then Paul is arguing with them and he's saying, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. Paul is putting on an argument for the resurrection. A case for the resurrection. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And then he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. In other words, if Christ only makes sense for us when we are alive, we are of all people most to be pitied. You see, some people who are following Jesus, like you follow some of these diet plans. It's like one of the alternatives. And today, some of us treat Jesus as one of the alternatives in matters of faith. We have others, like we have some, Jesus needs assistance. So on weekends, we come to church. On Monday, we try the other tree, the other. Amen. And Paul is saying we are to be pitied if we just treat Jesus as just one of those things for life. But because of his resurrection, verse 20 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, you can be assured that our faith is valid because Jesus overcame the grave. We can count on his word, and his word brings faith in our hearts, and that faith is not just for life today, it is for eternal life. Our faith and salvation is real because of the resurrection. Take that argument, put it against any other faith. How can you follow people that fear death as well? Okay, the fear for death we all have, and I'll talk about that later. But how can you follow those who have been dead? They are still buried. They are still in there. They can't even guarantee eternal life for themselves. And you're following them, dying for them. Our faith is valid because the one we believe in conquered the grave. He is alive. And we can trust him. When he says, I will save you, he will save us. He will. So the resurrection validates our faith. But thirdly, the resurrection speaks about Jesus coming back to life on earth. But the resurrection also assures us that this same resurrected Savior, he's coming back again. He will come back again. And that, my friends, is a wake-up call. Because some of us live our lives as though everything will end here on earth. But Jesus, the resurrected Savior, he's coming back again. He's coming for a church that's spotless. He's coming for his beauty. It's going to be amazing. And the Bible says when he returns, the dead in Christ will rise. It's just going to be amazing. But the question I have for you is, are you ready for the resurrected King's return? Jesus, the resurrected King, begins to talk about his return even before he died on the cross. John chapter 14, when Jesus was talking about his death and his resurrection, it created fear in the hearts of those who were around because they really loved him and thought, oh, we're going to lose. But Jesus is telling them, no, you can't lose if you have me. So in verses 1 to 6, John 14, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, but also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home, my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus was talking about his resurrection, but then he says, hey, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. His resurrection didn't just speak of him overcoming the grave. It's also speaking of the fact that one day this resurrected King is going to come. He's going to come. And so when he started to speak to them, verse 4, Jesus says, you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't. I love Thomas's honesty. In fact, he says, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? There was no Google Maps those days. And listen, there's no GPS that can lead you to heaven. Jesus is going to introduce the GPS. And then he says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. Thomas was excited about the many mansions and being in heaven. And Jesus saying, I'm coming back. He didn't want to miss. He said, just give me the way. And people are looking for a way today. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. This is before he died, by the way. Then after he died and rose from the grave, he was having a conversation with his disciples. And he starts to assure them, hey, I want you to spread this gospel message. But you can't do it in your own strength. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They started to talk that, Jesus, are you now going to restore political Israel? He says, no. There's something greater. It's called the kingdom of God. And it has a message. And after he spoke to them, the Bible says, this is now post resurrection. It says after he said this, he was taken up. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And they said, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven. The resurrected Savior is coming back. He is coming back to take his bride. The question is, are you gonna be one of them? Is, like Heaven's Gates Hell's Flames, we're going to do the drama here. Is your name written in that book of life? Because the resurrected king is going to come back. And he's already declared, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back, but I am the way. I'm the truth. This is a day for you to make up your mind to give your life to the resurrected Savior. He's the only one who will guarantee eternity for you. And when he comes back, you can be confident that you will be one of those he's come back for. The fourth assurance, as I begin to land the plan, that comes as a result of the resurrection, the game-changing day in history, is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us that God's power is unlimited. God's power, my friends, is unlimited. That's what the resurrection does. Here's what happened when Jesus was publicly mocked. Jesus was falsely accused. And then the replacement for him to die, because he really was innocent, was a very top criminal. Said, no, let's give us the criminal. Let Jesus be in that criminal's place. He was so beaten. The Bible says the description is so horrible, how he was treated. He couldn't even carry his cross, because he had to carry your cross. Somebody helped him, and they put him up on that cross, and they nailed him to that cross in between thieves, like the song that the worship team just sang. And right there, going, struggling for breath, they get a spear and pierce his side, so blood and water gush out. And then there he is, the Savior of the world, mocked in public, crucified in public, and he's dead, and he breathes his last. And there's somebody who comes and says, hey, Jesus is now dead. Can his people take him for burial? Said, all right, in a borrowed tomb, that's where he was laid. But then the political leaders and the religious leaders of the day knew he had said he would rise again. So they said, we must do everything to stop the resurrection. And so what they did was, they said, all right, let's put a big stone on the tomb. A huge stone was placed right there, physical barrier. And then they said, no, you know what? These disciples might come and they might push this thing away. Put a seal, a legal seal. That's what the Bible says, that no one must touch this tomb. Because if you do, the penalty was equal to death. Legal seal on that same tomb. And then said, you know, let's also add soldiers to protect this tomb, the grave. And they did so. They put a Roman guard. Have you found anybody's tomb or grave being protected by a whole battalion? They put him in there. So you have physical barrier, legal barrier, people barrier, but none could stop the unlimited power of his resurrection. The Bible says the earth shook. The angel came, rolled the stone away, sat on it. And then the Bible also says those soldiers were shaking as though dead, because nothing can stop the power of God from raising Jesus from the grave. And that same power, let me read it for you, Ephesians chapter 1. He says, hey, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those who he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And verse 19, Paul is praying. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. He describes that power. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. In other words, child of God, understand the resurrection power that brought Jesus from the grave is available for you. It's available for me to take us out of any situation. It may be a physical barrier. It may be a legal barrier. It may be a people barrier. I've got good news for you. God's power doesn't care any of those things. That physical barrier will grow. The resurrection assures us of God's unlimited power. Why are you trying to supplement God's power with all these other gods? They need chickens. These are the gods. They need gods. Oh, miserable gods. Satan and all his host of demons thought they had had the victory. He has the final word. Jesus' power defied the grave. You can trust in the power of God for your life. That's what the resurrection assures us about. His unlimited power. And finally, the resurrection assures us of victory over death. Victory over death. Death is one of those human experiences that we try to avoid at all costs. It is. In fact, the Bible describes death as an enemy. Death. Can I tell you something? If you review all your goals and all your plans, you will find that they are being motivated by the fear of dying soon. Just don't want to die. It's just as humans we carry that fear. Even the most powerful. The who is who must work with security to do what? To avoid being taken out. The most powerful people on planet Earth have the highest security. Because they fear death. Many countries have budgets that are unclassified. Do you know what those unclassified budgets are for? Avoid, not losing power, losing their lives. There's a fear for death that we all carry. But his resurrection gives us assurance that this enemy called death, by his resurrection, has been defeated. Hebrews chapter 2 says this. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. He died so that by the grace of God, he might test death for everyone. And verse 14 says, since the children, you and I, have flesh and blood, he too shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Who's that? That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus broke this power of death. And that's why as Christians, the natural fear that comes to us is that, oh, I may die and so I'm taking good precaution. But here's what I want to assure you. Regardless of your death, our last breath on earth is our first breath with our Savior, the King of Kings. Because he conquered the grave. Paul, the apostle, said, I'm caught in between two difficult choices I must make. This is what the fear of death does. It keeps us trying to live on earth. And Paul, for him, he's saying, you know, I'm caught up in between whether to stay here on earth or to die. Because he knew that the whole thing of death had been overcome. And so he struggles. And so he says, you know what? When I think of staying on earth, I will be preaching the gospel. But if I die, I will be with the Savior. What choice should I make? And then he says, you know what? for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You cannot stop a person with that kind of faith. You can't stop a person with that kind of assurance. The day you overcome the fear of death because of the resurrected King, you will be a person of faith like no one else. Like Paul, unafraid. You can do, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, all those things happened to him. But he says, hey, I will still suffer for Jesus. I have been crucified with him. I no longer live. It is him who lives in my life. That is the kind of mindset that Paul carried that caused him to live boldly. And this assurance victory over death simply means this. One day, my mom who went to be with Jesus, I am going to see her. And it won't just be for a short time. It is going to be for eternity. Why? She loved Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, she's going to be resurrected. She's going to have a glorified body, just like I will when I die. When that time comes, it will just be my last breath here, but my first breath in eternity. So have no fear of death, because Jesus rose from the grave. He overcame death once for all. You too will overcome death. And by his Spirit, just like he rose, we will arise as well. We will arise as well. And so those are the five assurances, my friends. You can trust his word. You can count on his word. Second assurance is that this faith we believe in, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, it is valid because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, the resurrected King is coming back again. For his church. He's coming back again for you and I, for those who are believers. Would you make up your mind today to follow Jesus? His resurrection says to us, just like the grave could not hold him, gravity could not stop him, his power is unlimited. And it can take you out of any dead situation, it can take you out of any situation that's opposing you. That's the unlimited power of God. You can count on him because of the resurrection. And finally, my friends, his resurrection means victory over death. That is why this day is a game changer. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,